The following program is presented by the HTM Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Talk in partnership with thechairshot.com, presented by the Hitting the Marks Podcast Network and in association with ndpw.com. Turnbuckle Talk is sponsored by collarandelbowbrand.com, where you get 10% off when using promo code JKPodcast. Turnbuckle Talk is also partnered with Phoenix at fnxfit.com, where you get 15% off all your health supplements simply by using promo code TBTalkPod. Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at TBTalkPod. Listen on Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere you catch your favorite programs. And now, pro wrestling fanatics, are you ready? Here are your hosts, Big Joe and Carl Carafell.
Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Turnbuckle Talk. We are looking at episode 187. Thank you for coming along and joining us as we bring our vidcast, not necessarily just a podcast, but a vidcast now as well, to the masses. Big Joe, another week, more wrestling talk. But before all of that, how have you been this past week since we last were on?
Oh, boy, man. It's been outside of wrestling. This has absolutely nothing to do with wrestling, but for... I'll let a little bit go there on Facebook, but I had a bit of a COVID experience. Without saying too much, essentially, I had to go get a test over kind of silliness, in my opinion, but I had one symptom of runny nose, and I was, forced to go get a test. So I did, and man, damn near a week to get a result. I essentially Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, and then just, you know, early this morning, finally getting the result, and just logged into the really, really piss poor website that the Canadian government has set up for doing this, and it finally updated, and I was like, yay, finally, you know, I can go back to work and kind of get things back to normal, because, dude, it's been a stressful friggin' week. It's been a stressful week.
I'm sure it definitely has been. You did send me the confirmation of a negative COVID-19 result at about 4:15 this morning.
That's where I got it. Yeah.
My God, that's kind of ridiculous right now. Going a week to get a test result back.
Next week. Yeah.
I don't know. That just I don't know. To me, seems a little bit off. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they just expect that you can wait, do without working. You know, it's not. I don't know if they're short staffed or it's just a poorly implemented system that they have. Could be a combination of just everything, right? So, you know, they're dealing with the nonsense just like we are, just trying to navigate through it. You know, there's no precedence, right? So, you know, It is what it is, man, and glad to finally be through it. But yeah, it's been a stressful week, and thankfully there's been some wrestling to watch and kind of navigate through, especially in the New Japan side of things, which I'll kind of get into. You know, provided some entertainment during a very, very funky week for the Big Joe over here in Southern Ontario, Canada. So let's lead off here, Carl, by talking about some WWE shenanigans.
That is right, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not heard and been living under a rock for whatever reason, WWE has made their superstars and talent sign essentially new contracts.
Yep.
But they have the inclusion of this here. So
yeah,
the WWE has now included and essentially has taken over the personal accounts of Twitch and Cameo so that the WWE can capitalize on that. Big Joe, what are your thoughts on WWE taking over these accounts of these superstars?
So my big issue with this stems from something that, Vince and the company have always said. You know, you work for the WWE, but you're still considered an independent contractor. Finger quotations on the other version. You're not getting. You're not going to be able to see that. But this kind of stuff here tells me you are not an independent contractor. Because clearly, I mean, if the WWE can take over something that's kind of personal here, a Twitch thing is something that somebody, an individual, does, and they were like, okay, you know, not only can you, basically, you can't do this, but now we're going to flip it. You're going to do it for us. And also, the caveat that now you're going to be required to do this, because now it's a WWE product. So they've gone to, this is just a casual thing that these talents do for a little bit of extra cash and fun, to now they are obligated to do it under the WWE banner.
And just to let everybody know, that is only on the Twitch platform. Ooh. I do have something here that I want to read super quick here to you. Because you were not aware of the Cameo as we came on.
I was not.
So I want to make this known for everybody. Essentially, the Twitch and the Cameo both are kind of running under the same thing here. So WWE is making talent sign agreements to turn over their Cameo and Twitch accounts to the company.
Yep.
WWE is essentially making it, as Big Joe said, independent contractors sign new contracts. For Twitch, the key points of the new agreement are including that talent affirmed that the WWE is their authorized representative. Yep. Talent authorized Cameo to make all payments and other compensations to the WWE. Cameo will not be made a party in any dispute between the talent and the WWE, and the authorization can only be canceled if the account is canceled. So if I'm part of the WWE and I turn over and sign this so that they have access to my Cameo account, the only way that that will be revoked is if that account becomes canceled.
Yep.
Previously reported aspects of the Twitch deal, including the accounts using the performers' real names, are included.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever percentage of revenue the WWE passed through to the wrestlers will count against their downside guarantee in their main contract. That is also said to apply to the Cameo deal.
Yep.
One important distinction, okay, from the Twitch contracts is the note about cancellation. Okay. So it would seem to indicate the WWE isn't going to be forcing anyone to do Cameo,
yeah,
but they will be forcing to do Twitch.
Yep.
So,
yeah, man, it's not a good look on the company yet again. And then during a time where other companies, New Japan, Ohio Valley Wrestling, Impact, they're really catering to their audience and really kind of making their audience feel very welcome and their talents. Whereas the WWE, they're like this overbearing big conglomerate that is just forcing these talents to just do what they want to them. And just, oh man, it's such a bad look at such a bad time.
It definitely is. That's my take. Yeah, I mean, especially at this time when, you know, this whole COVID thing is going on, lots of the performers aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
So they're supplementing their income now, apparently. As soon as they sign this,
yeah,
that supplemental income is just going to be regular for them, as noted in the little reading that I put there. It's going to go towards their income. So I mean, essentially, if I have a $30,000 contract per year with the WWE, and my Twitch brings in $10,000, well, essentially, my contract isn't a $30,000 contract now. It's a $20,000 contract.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, yeah, yeah, very, very bad move, I think, on the part of the WWE.
I think that stuff like this is just going to... we're going to go even further towards this, the talk of unionization, which is something that we've talked about, you know, just you and I, when we've had Mr. Ryan Bowman on and everybody else that that's been on this program. The talk of unionization, I think something like this is just going to make that become even more prevalent of a conversation that's going to happen. And I think,
yeah,
that I'm going to say within the next 5 to 10 years that we very well could see a unionization of professional wrestlers. I think it's time. It's going to be very, very tricky to implement, especially given the lower to mid-level companies, you know, like our friends over at CWE, you know, even Ring of Honor. I think you can kind of throw into that ballpark Impact. And of course our friends at Ignite Wrestling, it'll be very hard to implement that. But I think that there needs to be some kind of level ground and some thing put in place just to protect the rights and the health and the well-being of the performers as well. And because I mean, just this, like I said, I'll say it again, this is just a bad look for the WWE in the time to where they should be really looking to attract people, where with this we're pushing, not only pushing the viewers away and the long time diehard fans, now we're pushing the talent away with this kind of stuff here, Carl. There's a lot of talk of a lot of these guys wanting to jump ship to Impact,
right?
Wow.
No, and I definitely understand that and get that. I mean, especially over in Impact right now, like the talent there really has their own say, I guess.
They're having fun, right? Over there.
They're having a ton of fun. I mean, even like Jordynne Grace, you know, has kind of like a little partnership deal, yeah, with, I believe it's Adam and Eve, you know, a lingerie clothing site. You know, she's got to deal with them. She models for their products, puts it out there onto her social media, has a discount code, and she's getting supplemental income that way. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, it's opening up a world of opportunity for the performers to be able to not only perform for us and do what they love to do, but to also supplement doing something else that they love to do as well. Yep. Whereas, unfortunately, the WWE seems to be putting a huge kibosh on that. So I definitely get and I understand where these talents are kind of going, maybe I don't want to be in the WWE anymore. Maybe I want to be somewhere else.
And then you get some... the one most notable, I think, with this situation was Paige. And I think she even has one of those OnlyFans things where, I mean, you're essentially doing porn at that point. And when you look at her, like, she's essentially become like a cam girl on Twitch, Carl. And yeah. I believe that she's still technically associated with the WWE, but she's one of these ones where, like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. And eventually they'll cast her aside. She's found her niche and she's found a way to make money. So, you know, I guess, you know, more power to you, but... when it comes to wrestling, I think she's really kind of alienated herself from that group.
Well, I think she's really alienated herself from the WWE group.
Yeah.
If she were to go to a different company, I think that they would welcome her with open arms.
Possibly, yeah.
Especially because of how many fans she has on Twitch, yeah, and, you know, these other platforms that she's doing. She's got all of these followers there,
yeah,
and they're going to follow her wherever she goes. So if the WWE, for whatever reason, does decide that they're going to cast her aside, any company would be more than happy to bring her in and say, listen, we will work with you. Yeah. Definitely. Right. And she's really pushing back on this whole thing because this is, you know, something that she's been doing. And as you said, she really found a niche with this. Yeah. It's really there. And she's really doing good for herself in that aspect.
Yeah.
So yeah, if the WWE is going to come in and say, well, pretty much your contract is for this, but we're going to take all the money from, you know, Twitch that you're doing. Well, yeah, I can understand the pushback.
Yeah, and to be fair too, I used to do Twitch, and I used to follow some people and kind of delve into the whole Twitch culture. With Paige, especially the way that she does it, they're not there for professional wrestling. They're there to see the hot girl on the camera. To be fair,
they are.
That's what they're there for, right? And then those are the channels that do really, really well on Twitch. You know,
yeah.
some average Joe Schlo like me can get much on Twitch. It's just a fact. You know, I've tried that experiment. Yeah, so, yeah, they're not there for the professional wrestling. They're there to see the hot girl on the camera, and that's what it is. You know, I'm not going to denounce it because it's if you know what you're good at and you can do it and make money at it, more power to you. As long
as it's
legal.
Speaking of hot things on camera.
Yes.
Let's go to our next topic here. Yes. This is something that actually in the internet wrestling community has really been a hot topic as of late. We're looking at AEW Dynamite, and we're looking at them being a year old.
It's already been a year, man. It's already been a year.
What?
Where's the time gone? We've gone from in this podcast talking about, you know, the upcoming before All In happened, and then the birth of the company, and waiting for it to happen, and it finally becoming the, and already they've done a year of television program. It's pretty nuts. Pretty nuts.
It definitely is. It's mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And then for just some of the different things that they've done, right? Like I mean, gimmicky stuff that they've done, right? Like they did the Mimosa Mayhem. Yeah. Right, which was pretty cool, Jericho and Orange Cassidy, and then the Stadium Stampede matchup that happened as well, which was a little,
I enjoyed that.
Right, and then they broadcast from a cruise ship.
Yep,
they taped an episode of Dynamite on the cruise ship.
Yep,
and were able to put out an episode. All within a year, like, which, by the way, I was part of that historic event that happened.
Absolutely.
The first AEW Dynamite on a cruise ship. Yeah, like just holy crap. Like they have done so much within a year. Now, how do you think their momentum is now as opposed to, let's say, 11 months ago, Big Joe?
Well, I'm going to personalize this a little bit more because, you know, my experience is going to be different than yours. It's going to be different from people that are watching this or listening to the audio version. Your experience is all going to be different. For me, one thing to keep in mind with me personally, since this show started, not since this show, Turnbuckle Top, but since AEW Dynamite started, during my quote-unquote day job or mark job, if you want to call it that, I've shifted from being a day worker slash afternoon slash evening worker to a night shift worker. So having said that, it's changed my viewing habits, not only for professional wrestling, just in general when it comes to regular television, when it comes to movies, when it comes to YouTube and whatnot. So having said that, the initial charm of AEW, and I mean like those first 10 episodes, I mean, it was like I was there watching it, I even... you know, did a Facebook posting about the start of the very first episode. And because I saw that in the Facebook memories that came up. But that initial charm, I have to say, for me, has kind of worn off. And then you throw in the combination of me shifting to being a night shift worker has resulted in me gravitating more towards the New Japan Pro Wrestling. Because of the time difference, when I'm coming home from after my shift, that's when that's on. That's a lot of times it's airing live at that time. So I get to see a lot of that kind of go. And then with the YouTube stuff, you know, with OVW and with our friends over at Ignite and whatnot. So my wrestling viewing habits have really, really changed over this last year, resulting in me missing a lot of AEW Dynamite. I still record it. I still PVR it slash TiVo, whatever you want to call it. But I'll be honest, I miss a lot of it. And so it's not only, I can't pass too much of a judgment. The stuff that it's been hit and miss. It's been hit and miss. I've seen a lot, but I've missed a lot. And like I said, just for me with this, things have really changed. I definitely don't watch hardly any WWE. A lot of times I even forget when pay-per-views are happening, but it's been a shift in my lifestyle, my work schedule. It's resulted in my habits changing with that. And thankfully with it too, because I mean, with New Japan Pro Wrestling, especially lately, they've done the best coming through COVID as well, in my personal opinion. But what do you think for AEW Dynamite for their first year? I know you've been following a lot more closely than I have been.
I definitely have been. I mean, I'm still excited for the product. I am. Mm-hmm. Has it kind of dwindled the luster a little bit? Sure. I mean, it definitely has, right? Yeah. But I mean, there's always that honeymoon period. And that's exactly what had happened, right? So we finally got AEW Dynamite. That honeymoon phase is kind of past, and we're getting professional wrestling coming out of it now. They are trying to be a little different, a little innovative with different things, right? Different gimmick matches, stuff like this.
Yep.
So they're still trying to keep things fresh. And kind of hip today, I guess you could say, almost. But yeah, I mean, I'm still high on AEW. I really am. I mean, I can't say I'm high on all the talent, but I mean, I'm definitely high on AEW still. Not just AEW though. Like, I mean, I PVR NXT still.
Yeah.
I PVR AEW, I PVR Ring of Honor, I PVR Impact Wrestling as well. So, I mean, I've got, you know, and NXT UK. So, I mean, I've got five programs of professional wrestling that PVR onto my box every week that I go back and I watch. So, I mean, am I interested in watching Dynamite? Definitely I am. But the same can be said for Impact and Ring of Honor, as well as NXT. NXT UK, not so much really anymore. But I mean, I'm still watching all of it. Odd time when I have a when I have a Monday available or a Friday, you know, I'll try to watch some WWE. I definitely will.
Ouch.
What?
I said ouch.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to, right?
Well, I
mean,
you.
We kind of have to, right?
I
mean, we're in the business of trying to talk professional wrestling, and they're the biggest conglomerate that's out there. So, I mean, we should kind of see what they're doing
for sure.
So, I mean, I do. I definitely try to watch it, but it doesn't always happen. just kind of like your case, myself. I work overnights, so I mean, it's a little harder for me. Sometimes I come home and I have to get up early in the afternoon, and then you know, I kind of take a little bit of a nap before going back in for my shift. So it makes it a little bit harder, especially when these programs are running in the evening. So that's why I usually PBR.
Yeah. One thing, a couple things that I will say for them, I think that they need to improve on, especially with recently, some of these debuts, like the one with Miro, I think that really wasn't handled too well. That one match that involved a couple of people, there were potentially some serious injuries that could have happened there. And I think that they need to really stop like comparing themselves to other companies, especially poking and prodding over at WWE, saying, you know, hey, we run a tight ship, and you know, people don't get sick, people don't get hurt here, and then those things happen, right? So all those things, that they're better off just saying, just shut up on that stuff, just be themselves, and kind of let the chips fall where they may. Constantly like comparing themselves to other people and poking and prodding places, I think is kind of a mistake, because that's the WCW thing all over again, right? And and I will say that, you know, especially when you look at All In, where this all started, all is like the recurring word, right? That it doesn't quite feel like it's lived up to, you know, that moment after All In ended, and they were all in the ring and really telling the crowd, you know, this is the start of something really, really cool. And we're, it just didn't feel for me in the first year, it doesn't feel like it's quite lived up to those expectations that were set at that event. Cause I mean, that still was like a landmark event, like outside of big companies, right? That'll stand up for a long time of being like probably one of the biggest independent shows ever. And it feels like they haven't quite lived up to those expectations, at least in my boat.
So now for those expectations, especially coming out of that, that event, definitely. I understand what you're saying. Now, do you think if COVID-19 had not played a factor in things, do you think that things might be a little bit different in your response there?
Possibly. It depends on how they're presenting things, because it was supposed to be, you know, they were presenting themselves as this anti WWE place, right? And then it almost seems like they're like the little kid WWE, where they're still doing a lot of the sports entertainment stuff. They were really going more for like the sports kind of presentation. It feels like they kind of abandoned that and kind of going more with like the kidsy stuff and the funny stuff and the vignettes and whatnot. And so it just doesn't feel, I don't know if they decided to make that switch on the fly, or how that all kind of happened. I don't think it really had anything to do with COVID, but it just, it felt like we started off with this really cool thing, and it feels like it's becoming sports entertainment again. I like professional wrestling. I'm not a big fan of sports entertainment. Now, gotcha. Having said that, you know, that Stadium Stampede match was one that people were probably pretty shocked that I actually enjoyed, because I think that the way that stuff is executed also makes a big difference. And they did arguably some hokey stuff there, people thought, but I enjoyed it. So it can be hit and miss. But I will say that, you know, at least they're trying. They're trying some stuff, and they're not just coming across something stupid and then sticking with it and everything like that. So they've been experimenting. It hasn't all been a win, and some of it's been a loss. But we'll just have to wait and see. Year two, I think, will be very, very telling for this company, because a lot of people have been saying that they won't make it to a second year, especially the people that are really anti-AEW, which I'm not. I try and be as objective as I can, but a lot of people have been saying that, they're not going to last too long. They're going to last longer than I think people are expecting.
I think so as well. I think right now is a good time for us to take a first commercial break here. Let us hear from our friends, as you see down at the ticker there, from collarandelbowbrand.com.
Wrestling, a love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
Dictionary defines hero as a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Being a hero in life is far more than words printed on a page. It takes an unwavering code, a compass that points true north, always. And in times like these, it takes sacrifice. Hero shouldn't be a word defined by a dictionary. It's a word that should be defined by the best of us. Hero has a new definition.
And there we go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard from our friends over at collarandelbowbrand.com. Remember, you can always go to collarandelbowbrand.com and use our promo code JKPODCAST at the checkout and get yourself 10% off your entire order. They have some amazing merchandise over there. As you see, every week I'm wearing the hat. This week I've actually got on the sweater, which is phenomenal. Yep. Underneath the sweater, I'm actually wearing the basic tee, just a white tee with black collar and elbow written on it. Make sure you go and check out collarandelbowbrand.com. Doing so actually gives us a little bit of a kickback and helps us pay for and continue to bring you these video casts. Make sure you go and check out collarandelbowbrand.com. That's collarandelbowbrand.com.
Absolutely, and right now they have that special animal shirt there as well, where all the proceeds to the sale of that particular shirt go towards his family. They did something similar with Shad Gaspard as well. So cool that they're doing this. And they actually did a better tribute recently on OVW television than WWE did for Animal, which I thought was very, very cool. If you tune into the most recent episode of OVW TV, you saw a very cool tribute to Road Warrior Animal on there. So some good stuff.
And as a reminder, OVW TV is available on YouTube.
Yeah, man.
So you can go to YouTube and check out OVW TV that way.
Yeah, the most recent episode, they did a 21-man Royal Rumble-style match for that national title. And Jesse Goddard's, became that champion's. A really cool match. I ended up coming down to him and Brian Pillman Jr. and a couple other guys there. So some good stuff there from OVW. I'm always digging them lately. But let us move on to our next topic here, Carl. Some New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's been a little while since we've done a full-on conversation about these guys, but the G1 tournament is still going on, and it's looking really interesting so far.
It definitely is, ladies and gentlemen. The G1 Climax with New Japan Pro Wrestling. As you can see there on the screen, the king of sports, and they definitely are.
Yep.
This is the updated standings as of today. I believe, what, they have another 4 days?
Well, there's 19 nights, so...
19, okay, yeah, so we're at...
We're about halfway.
So what, another 10 nights then?
Yeah, we're about halfway through now.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And already we're looking at, here's the standings, right? So we've got, you know, in Block A, we've got Kota Ibushi, so, leader of the pack there, four wins, one loss, a total of 8 points. Over on the B Block, Tetsuya Naito with 6. So yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, let's just run down the top three in each block. Kota Ibushi, Okada and Jay White. Yep. And then on the B block, Naito, Juice Robinson and, Yano.
Tori Yano.
Right. Yano. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yano actually got a win over a Tanahashi in the tournament, believe it or not. And, some interesting, stuff kind of going on here. The two names at the top, not too surprising. That wouldn't shock me for that to be the final, but to kind of go through, because we haven't really covered too much since the beginning of the tournament, I thought I'd bring up some notable matches here that have happened. I think we covered the first couple nights, but going into like night three, some interesting ones happening, like Tai Chi beating Minoru Suzuki. I definitely wouldn't have called that. Jay White getting a win over Kota Ibushi. The Young Lions have been doing really, really well too. Basically, it's just Gabriel Kidd, Uemura, and Tsuji, and they've just been kind of like mixing those matchups throughout the whole thing. But some other stuff here, like Juice Robinson getting a win over Kenta. That was kind of surprising. Goto beating Sonata. Tori Yano defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi in under 8 minutes. That was definitely a surprise. Minoru Suzuki getting a win over Jeff Cobb in night 5. Shingo getting a win over Will Ospreay, which is interesting there as well. Jay White also beating Kazuchika Okada in that fifth night. Toriano getting a win over Evil, and Kenta beating Zack Sabre Jr., kind of a WWE matchup there. Sonata losing a lot of matches in this tournament. But the one that I'm kind of particularly sad about is in that A block, Carl, and my boy Shingo Takagi is sitting there with 4 points, 2 wins and 3 losses, man. That's that one's rough. And then Sonata bringing up the rear in that B block, man. He's got to be wondering, what do I need to do in this company to get a fair shake? That they seem to really have it up for that dude over there.
I don't know why, but you're very much so right. I mean, that's the way it seems. It's just it's really weird. Really, really weird.
What's your prediction, Carl? What's the final matchup for this tournament?
Oh, geez. Kind of going by how things are looking right now. Okada and Robinson. I want to say Yano, but I don't think that that's gonna. I don't Yano think that that's really final. Gonna continue for very much longer. I think that this is just a rib on everybody, and
it's Yano.
I think at some point we're gonna see Toru Yano, kind of starting to get those losses coming in. But
because when you actually look at that, I actually had to do like a double take. Yano isn't really sitting there in third place. He is actually tied 6 points for the lead
for first
with Juice and Naito. Juice is a nice surprise there at the top. I think he might surprise him, but he has a very, very different looking kind of gimmick right now. I'm not sure what that's all about, but I'll get to that a little bit later. But yeah, some other surprises, like Will Ospreay, I think is somebody that still could make an impact there. And Jeff Cobb, kind of sitting there in the same spot as Shingo. It's still fairly early. There can be some movers and shakers here, but I think that this ultimately comes down to Kazuchika Okada versus Tetsuya Naito in the final. That's going to be my prediction.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You see, I'm kind of thinking that they're for this one, at least they're going to have a little bit of a mix of New Japan and North America in there. So, you know, kind of having Juice Juice Robinson, you know, kind of continue on further, or even Zack Sabre Jr., which, I mean, really isn't North America, but kind of was North America for a while. You know, or they could take things in a totally different way and go, you know, Naito and Ospreay or something like that, or Jay White, right? And then kind of have that mix of Japan and anything else.
It'd be interesting to see how it all kind of plays out. If Yano ends up in the finals, I know our friend Mr. Michael Jargo, I think by that time Destino will be back up and running the podcast.
I
think you'll definitely be hearing a lot from him. Those will be some episodes that I'll tune into for sure.
Those will be episodes that you will not want your children around for, because they will be explicit.
Absolutely. And I can't blame them. All right, man, let's shift back over to some WWE talk. We're talking Roman Reigns again here, Carl. It's been a while since we've actually kind of delved into and talked about this this dude. But recently they finally made the shift that we were all kind of calling for years now. And it's been kind of interesting. It's been interesting for me personally. It feels like it's maybe a little too late with this, but they've actually been doing some cool stuff here. I think you've seen more of this than I have. I've been kind of catching some segments, but I haven't been watching full shows of SmackDown. But yeah, they've been doing some cool stuff with him.
They've been doing some really cool stuff with him. I'm super excited for it. And even this photo here that I'm going to put up on screen really tells it all. Yeah. You know, wearing the lei over his neck, you know, wanting to be called the tribal chief. And then like the two guys that are there, those are his cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And he's essentially just decimated and you know, kind of has that, that regard of tough love. I love you, but you're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the top of the top, and that's the way it's always been. And that's the way it's always going to be. And just this whole new shift, you know, even having you see Paul Heyman in the back there with his hands over his mouth. Just like this whole picture here just really embodies the entire story. The look on Jimmy Uso's face there as he's, you know, over top of his brother Jey Uso looking down on him. And, you know, with Roman Reigns just standing there over top and looking dominating. And I'm loving the fact that they've taken that stupid vest off of him.
Yeah.
It's gone.
That was long overdue.
We're able to actually see a character that looks menacing now, as opposed to somebody who looks a little bit more shy and afraid and having to wear something like a vest. And then again, just with Paul Heyman, just that look on Paul Heyman's face. He's a master of that.
Yeah.
Master. But I mean, I've been super good and cool with everything that the WWE right now has been doing with Roman Reigns, and I'm very shocked and surprised that I'm saying this, because I have never really been a big Roman Reigns fan.
Yep.
But I am happy with the direction that everything is currently going.
When it always came to Roman Reigns, I was never critical of the in-ring work. I always thought that what he did in the ring was just fine. It was always just an issue with the character and the company pushing him in a certain direction that just didn't seem right. And it feels like we're steering in the right direction. Now, Carl, what are the odds here that all three of these guys end up together in some kind of group or faction at some point?
No.
I see it happening. I see it happening. I think that they're going to go with like the Samoan dynasty thing. I have a feeling, and knowing Vince's mindset, that he's going to want to do something like this.
I know he's definitely going to want to do something like this. I hope that this question honestly gets asked a little bit more out in the internet wrestling community,
mm-hmm.
and that it's said no, that people don't want this, and hopefully maybe they'll be listened to. We'll see. Honestly not something that I want to see. I definitely do not want to see that. Jimmy and Jey Uso have a great thing going as a tag team. Let them just continue to be the tag team that they are. Whether they've been face, whether they've been heel as a tag team, they do very well in both roles. Leave this with Roman Reigns right now. Let him have a time to quote unquote shine. And just be this dominating character that that he needs to be.
And for anybody watching right now, if you have a comment on this, feel free to post it. If you're watching this live, feel free to post it into the comments. The reason why I kind of bring that up with them is because I really feel, I like to kind of not make fun of WWE, but I'm pretty critical of them lately. One thing with the Usos, I can't really be critical of them, Carl. I think that I think a lot of people don't give them a fair shake. Honestly, I think that they're the best tag team in the company. And I think that
in the WWE,
I think that they're kind of being wasted there, Carl. And I think eventually I would love to see them like in a Ring of Honor or New Japan. Impact, maybe not quite so much, but I think especially over New Japan, and if they could kind of cross over with Ring of Honor, I mean, a matchup with the Briscoes and the Usos, that would be absolutely phenomenal. And just the stuff that they could do over New Japan as well. I mean, in World Tag League, they could really excel over there. I feel like these guys are just being wasted in this company. And that's why I think that they might try something here. They might play the angle of Roman Reigns basically saying, you know, kind of beat them up for a little while and be like, hey, you know, you guys are your family. Come and join me or kind of be destroyed, right? So I think eventually they might kind of play that angle. I don't know how long of a deal these guys have with this company, but I would love to go see them, to see them go elsewhere. And I don't want it to be AEW. I don't want it to be another one of these guys where it's like, okay, you know, these guys were left WWE and the first thing that everybody always says is they're going to AEW. Right. Go elsewhere. New Japan is where I think these guys should be.
You know what? And I'm in agreement with that. I would rather see them in Ring of Honor though, as opposed to New Japan Pro Wrestling, because just as you mentioned, could you imagine the Usos versus the Briscoes?
That's a dream matchup I've wanted to see for years.
A feud for a while going on between those two tag teams. That would be epic. No. That has gold and money written all over it.
It does.
And that's where I would want to see them go. And I mean, they've got some great tag teams over in Ring of Honor as well. So why not? Why not? Like, there's so much that can be done and happen over in Ring of Honor with Jimmy and Jey Uso. If the WWE ever, you know, releases them from their contracts, that's where I would rather see them go, is Ring of Honor.
Yep, no, absolutely. So, yeah, we'll see if anything like that happens. I feel it's not so much that they don't necessarily belong in WWE. Just I feel that there's not enough there for them to kind of play off or to really kind of compete with. It feels like they're the only tag team that's worth a damn in that company, and everybody else, like, it's such a damaged, it's such a sparse tag team division that they have in WWE. Like, it feels like they don't even care about anyone. It's been that way for quite a while.
It definitely has been. I mean, they really feel like the tag team, because, and not just because they're, you know, brothers or whatever, right? But I mean, you really feel a different dynamic between two guys who have been a tag team pretty much their entire career, to, you know, other ones who have just kind of been thrown together. If you guys want a little bit more on tag team stuff, go and check out our last episode where we had our tag team special. We were joined by a couple of good friends of ours in Rick Vickery and Michael Jargo. So if you want, you can go back and check out our Facebook page at TB Talk Pod. You can find everything there for the shows, and you can go back and watch that tag team special if you want to hear a little bit more about tag team stuff. But yeah, I mean, I personally, I agree with you. They seem to be about the only ones that are really making any type of a impact right now.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of our friends here, before we move on to our next topic, because when we do go live with the Facebook here, I also do share from our Turnbuckle Talk page to my personal page. And I actually have a comment that I want to kind of bring up, and it was about the Twitch at the top of the program here. Our friend, okay. Mr. Stevie Richards from over in the Hobby Media Group and former WWE talent, Mr. Stevie Richards, had a comment
nice.
About the topic saying, why would I want to stream for hours on my days off to have WWE pay me what they feel like? I agree, Stevie. I agree.
There we go.
Right?
Wise words. I mean, yeah, if you guys ever see anything, if we ever say this is coming from Stevie Richards, okay, all you got to know is listen up. Yeah. Because this guy knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. He's one of the best minds in the business ever.
Yep.
So, yeah, if we ever say Stevie Richards says... Listen up.
Absolutely. And actually, somebody that when we get to our 200th episode, actually, Stevie is one of the guys that's at the top of my list to have on Turnbuckle Talk. That's something that I've wanted to do for quite a long time. And I think I'm hoping to someday make that happen. And so stay tuned. Yeah. Eventually, we'll have Stevie on this program. I guarantee it. All right. So next up here, Carl, I guess we're going to talk a little bit of breaking news. Let me quickly play our little bit here. All right, so breaking news that isn't really kind of dirt sheet. It's a little bit tough this week because there was a fair amount of dirt sheet stuff. Do you have anything that you want to kind of bring up while I kind of look through the pages here?
Yeah, somebody that was recently released from the WWE. We're looking at former WWE producer Sarah Stock was arrested yesterday morning. Yeah. It notes that she was arrested for aggravated battery, resisting law enforcement, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication by alcohol. She was booked at 4:25 a.m. on Sunday, and a bond was set at $600. She has since been released.
Yep.
She was let go by the WWE in early September during the latest round of cutbacks that happened. Yeah, I mean, is this a product of being released? Is this a product of COVID? Is this, you know, kind of it's what is happening? What is going on?
Yes to both. I think it's a combination of everything. Even just for myself at the top of the program, you know, going through and waiting for this test result, it takes a toll mentally. And I can just imagine, like, if the test came back positive, like, it would have definitely added to the stress. Also, I get it. It's kind of hard to blame WWE on this kind of stuff, it's one of the things that kind of is what it is. You know, mental health is something that we've touched on this program and other programs that we're a part of, but it's something that's definitely becoming an issue in the current landscape of things. And I think that, unfortunately, this might become a little bit more commonplace. Something else that kind of loosely ties into that, with a lot of WWE talent that have been released recently, and the most recent one that I saw was with Mr. Eric Young, who has gone back to Impact, thankfully. Of this news and information coming out of what WWE had planned for them before the COVID-19 started, I'm seeing a lot of this coming out with the talent that has left the company, and this information is being leaked out. It feels, I think it's on purpose here, Carl, that WWE is leaking this information to make this talent feel guilty for going elsewhere. I think that's kind of the ultimate goal. It seems kind of petty. I think that kind of might be what's going on.
I think so as well.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Especially these ones that they felt unused, and that's arguably why they released. And then they released the same, oh, we actually had a plan for you if you would have stuck around, you know, and that kind of stuff. Just like, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I just say, I think it makes everybody kind of look petty and whatnot. But it's one of those things that it kind of is what it is. There's been a fair amount of dirt stuff. There's Joey Ryan stuff that I don't really want to bring up, more Velveteen Dream stuff, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of kind of questionable stuff going on behind the scenes. But really stuff that's worth kind of bringing up for breaking news, that's really about it.
Yeah, there really isn't a lot. No. I mean, something else that we have here, currently in AEW, we have Trent. Who's been working? He's officially listed as Trent with a question mark. Yeah. He's recently filed for a trademark for the name Trent Barreta.
Wow.
As opposed to Trent Barreta that was used in the WWE. So instead of Barretta, he is going to for copyright, I guess, on B-E-R.
That's close.
E-T-T-A.
That's close, yeah.
So that he can essentially use that name, right? Yeah. And the WWE can't come back on him for it. After he left the WWE, he used the name Trent Barreta.
Yeah.
As well as several other names. But for his main roster career, it was slightly respelled and was spelt with the A instead of the
Barreta.
E, so,
yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, other than that, there really isn't a whole lot that I am seeing here. Yeah. Nothing that's really, you know, come up or anything like that. I guess maybe one other notable thing is that, what's his name there? Ken Shamrock is going to be put into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Okay. I'm getting Ken and Frank mixed up.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Shamrock. Yeah. You're right.
Yep. And he actually reached out to a former WWE super mega star, legend, Hollywood now guy, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And The Rock is actually going to do a recording for him for his induction into the Hall of Fame. So really cool. I think that's a very classy move on the part of The Rock, that for him to even, you know, do something like that and essentially show that you can transcend the WWE and be there as professional wrestlers and people together, right?
We'll see if it happens. I have a feeling Vince is going to put the kibosh to that, but we'll see. I mean, I don't think he could even appear in Impact as Dwayne Johnson, because he's done stuff in WWE as Dwayne as well. So I'll be happy and glad if it does happen, but I have a feeling that once Vince gets wind of it, he might, at the very least, want to meet with the Impact guys and say, hey, you know, we need a bit of a kickback if you're going to use Dwayne on your program. But we'll see.
Honestly, I think if it does come to that, Dwayne will probably look at Vince and say, Dwayne, go ahead and find me. What do you want? I'll write the check right now.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's just you see it. You see in different articles and different news pieces that have been done on The Rock, that's just what he does. He's got one of the biggest hearts that you could ever imagine to see. And I think that's essentially what he'd do, is if the WWE did decide to do some sort of retaliation over this, he'd just say, Vince, how much do you want? Like, I'll just write the check here.
I mean, Duke can like rip out an iron gate from solid masonry work by himself. I don't think he's a guy that you want to tick off either as well. The only other kind of breaking news I think I would kind of bring up is Kairi Sane. It looks like she's gone back over to Japan, but I guess it's still technically affiliated with the WWE. So it's almost kind of like they let her go, but not quite. It's strange. It's strange because she's somebody that I'd really, really like to see back in Stardom. Because they've been killing it in Stardom. Now, if you get a chance to catch any of their program lately, they're absolutely doing fantastic over there. But you know, they're affiliated with New Japan. So I'm hoping that they'll kind of let her go at some point and she can get back to... Because she's an incredible talent. She's a little undersized, and I think that was a big reason why they didn't push her over the WWE. But, I mean, she's somebody that they need to let her work over Japan. Please.
Definitely they do. Please. But you're right. They did let her go back over there because she, you know, she had just gotten married and then came over to North America and, you know, like was missing her husband and wanting to go back and be with her husband. So they're like, okay, like, cool, we'll let you go back. Yeah. But... you're going to become brand ambassador, essentially, for the WWE over there. So that's essentially what they've done with her, is they've given her the availability to go back home, be with her husband, but still kind of having her under contract as an ambassador of the brand over there.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what becomes of that. All right, Carl, before we do our showstopper segment, we need to do our match of the week segment. All right, for our Match of the Week segment here this week, I think I will let you, as traditionally seems to be, I'll let you go first and I'll give you my pick. I think yours is going to possibly make your head explode.
Well, I mean, mine's coming from NXT TakeOver 31. Mm. You know what? I watched quite a bit of wrestling programming this week. Good. And although this wasn't the best week for matches within the world of professional wrestling, I was happy to see kind of the flow and development of this matchup here. Mm-hmm. We're looking Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Been hearing a lot of good about this. Yeah.
Went 28 minutes, 28 minutes and some seconds. I mean, it definitely was a very good matchup. Good back and forth. Good development between both. They worked really well together. You really didn't see very much happening for like outside interference or anything like that. So, I mean, yep. it was good just to allow them to go out there and put on a really good show. And if anybody could do it, Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly definitely can do it. And I think that they really delivered. Was it the greatest match of all time? Definitely it wasn't. But for this week, it was one of the best that I saw.
What was interesting leading up to this too, on WWE's program, I know it's kind of affiliated with the WWE. I think it's essentially one of their products of the bump. Our friend Tony Kazina was actually on there and actually was talking about Kyle O'Reilly. They've actually both spent time over in CWE here in Canada too, by the way.
Yes.
And so I think it's largely where I kind of got Kyle actually kind of got a lot of his beginning in there. Was working with Ring of Honor at the time as well. So it was really cool to actually see our friend Tony Kazina kind of on a WWE program there. So that's very cool that that WWE loves that kind of stuff, which is surprising giving like the current landscape of kind of what's going on here. You know, you guys can't go and do other stuff, but we're seemingly allowed to bring and even mentioning New Japan and these other places on the program. Very on WWE like. I would like to actually to see more of that from this company, especially right now. So, yeah, so very cool, and definitely a match that I still need to go check because I've heard a lot of good things about this, and it felt like, from what I've heard, it's been a real kind of defining match for Kyle O'Reilly, especially in the WWE context of things. So,
the entire pay-per-view itself, I mean, really wasn't takeover quality type of pay-per-view, but they have done some really cool things. So definitely, Big Joe, I want you to go and check that out because this new arena, this new thing that they have going on, like, I mean, it's really good. I'm loving the look of things. They had a mixture of live audience members as well as Thunderdome style members of the audience as well.
Yep.
And I will have to agree with you. Going and having fans in the crowd, it does make a difference.
It does.
It really does. And you could really notice that in this pay-per-view that happened, that having those live audience members there made you feel a little bit more at home.
One of the reasons why I really enjoy New Japan Pro Wrestling recently is they have a fair number of fans in the arena watching the shows, which makes my Match of the Week segment kind of a little more impactful. And it was really good for me because, like I said, you know, this past week was a pretty stressful week for me. And thankfully, I got to watch some entertaining professional wrestling during my time. And my Match of the Week is coming from New Japan, coming from the G1 tournament. This is coming from night 8 here, Carl. And this was the second match in the card. And we were talking Mr. Juice Robinson versus Toru Yano. This is my match of the week for this week here, Carl, because it was only like just shy of 7 minutes long, but I was thoroughly entertained by this match. They did some funny segments here, and I just sat back. You know, you get to hear the reaction from the crowd. You know, Yano spraying hand sanitizer at people, and they even tied up Juice's legs at one point, and Juice had to kind of hop back into the ring, and just a lot of talk back and forth between the two guys. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it, and it put me in a good mood after kind of a crappy week. So I thoroughly enjoyed that match. Congrats to both guys, and even Toru Yano, you know, he put a smile on my face, so mission accomplished.
And you know what? That's exactly what it's all about, people. Professional wrestling isn't just always about what's actually happening competitive-wise between the two people. It's there to elicit an emotion.
It definitely did that.
Right? Yeah. And if, yeah. So there you go. Somebody who is a comedic, you know, type of worker. Yep. Sometimes is a good thing, especially if you've been having a pretty crappy week or the day's just gone to hell. And, you know, being able to see something like that elicits that emotion. And that is what professional wrestling is all about, eliciting those emotions.
He managed to elicit some good stuff out of Juice as well. So anybody who hasn't had a chance to check out that match, go check it out. You'll have a hoot. It doesn't take a whole long to watch it. So do yourself a favor and go check it out. I think it'll put a smile on most wrestling fans' faces. All right, Carl, before we go to our showstopper segment, let us hear from our friends over at thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, guys. Big Joe and Carl Careful back here in Turnbuckle Talk. It's time for our Showstopper segment. All right, man, and everybody watching here, we are 13 episodes away from our 200th episode. It's a pretty landmark situation. A lot of, not only wrestling podcasts, a lot of podcasts in general don't make it that far as things happen, creative differences or what have you. People lose touch and then they go away. We're going to be coming up to 200 episodes, man. Pretty incredible. And I thought we'd kind of just talk about how we've kind of managed to keep this going for so long. It's there's a lot of factors kind of at play here that have resulted in us being around as long as we have. What would you say?
Well, I do want to say that we've been doing this since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Started out in 2015 with the dynamic of that guy, Big Joe, and myself. Yep. We have talked about before, you know, the beginnings and how things, you know, came about for the Turnbuckle Talk program and events surrounding the combination of Big Joe and I. Don't want to talk about that right now. That's a little bit of a Debbie Downer. But Kyle, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I'll say about that.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, since 2015, we've been going and we have been consistent. And I think that that's one of the biggest things for us is that we have had that consistency. And I'm going to pull up on screen here. Boom. There you go. You see that right in the center? That logo is you know, something that I had created. I had it done up for me by my good friend Josh Meisner. Paid him for the work. So that's mine. That's my logo.
It's our logo, yep.
Everything. I paid for it. We as the podcast got it paid for, done. And consistency. That's a big thing. Yep. Now, little tweaks and changes here and there definitely have happened. As you see, like we got this new type of style here. If you kind of take your hands and cover up the logos on the side that you see there, that's essentially what we're now using for our logo. Yep. Actually, you know what's really cool about StreamYard? Here. There you go.
Yep.
So up at the top right-hand corner, you see that logo. So a little slight change, kind of like other companies have done as well, but we've been consistent with that logo.
Yep.
So consistency is key.
Yep. And the other thing that you notice, and with this still up here, kind of tells the story as well. Just all the associations and the friends and the partnerships that we've developed over the years, you know, ColorNebelBrand.com, Carlos over at Indie Pro Wrestling, Greg over at thechairshot.com, StreamYard, the Hitting the Marks podcast network with our friends Rick and Jargo over there. That's really, to just kind of focus on that for a minute, that's really been one of the biggest things for me with this podcast is becoming associated with those guys, and especially in the guys who were at the grill position. That's been some of the most rewarding stuff that I've done. when it comes to just podcasting, broadcasting kind of in general. Well, getting the chance to work with those guys has been absolutely amazing.
It definitely has been. I mean, they developed from partnerships to friendships.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing. And I mean, for us to be able to at any time pick up our phone or hop on the computer and send a message and go, hey, I got this idea I'm thinking about, or hey, I feel like crap.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a couple minutes, and they're there. They're there for you. It's become a friendship instead of just a partnership. And that's been a fantastic thing. Especially I want to give a shout out right now to Ryan K. Bowman. Mm. Our friend has been going through some very trying times right now, but is bouncing back, making a full comeback, as we know he will, because he is a tough son of a bitch. And I mean, Mickey as well, you know, his fiance, they've both been very strong throughout everything that has been going on. And Mickey and Papa Bear, we love you. And you know what? We're here for you. And we appreciate you. And I just wanted to make sure that you you guys got a shout out from us, at least. We've talked. We've, you know, over Facebook and stuff like that. But happy to see that, you know, that a comeback is taking place right now. And then just like I said, that's the type of relationship that's been built, is that where we can share in the care. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And for Ryan, like you had mentioned, you know, he's on demand, and you know, when he's good and ready, we will definitely be having him back on the podcast. He's always going to have a home here with us, even after the grillposition.com. It's that dude's more gone past, like, you know, with especially with him, Michael, Jargo, and Rick. Those guys have, like, it's gone past friendship. Those guys are like family to us now.
That's right.
So it's always welcome to have any of those gentlemen on this program, and they will always be able to. And just even kind of going forward, you know, we have some new prospects on the horizons with the podcast and just wrestling in general. There's a lot kind of on the go. You know, we've never really kind of blown up into that stratosphere. But we've, like you said, we've been consistent, and we've built a whole lot of partnerships and friendships. And to me, that's been more rewarding than achieving any kind of superstardom and whatnot. That was something I'll always take away from this, is just all the great experiences and the friendships made throughout the years.
Definitely. I'm going to get this out of the way just super quick here. We already talked about our friends over at collarandelbowbrand.com. Yep. I want to talk about our friends at fnxfit.com as well, because they were somebody else. When we decided to start doing the vidcasts, they reached out to me on our social media platform, and they're like, we're kind of digging what you're doing. We'd love to be able to, you know, kind of help you out a little bit and, you know, offer you a discount code and offer you, you know, something for your viewers and for your listeners. So if any of you out there are going to the gym, working out, need some protein, need some pre-workout, post-workout, super greens, whatever you really need, fnxfit.com can get you that.
Yep.
You want a discount code? Shoot us a message and I will get you a discount code, and you can go and save yourself like 15% off your entire purchase that you make. And I mean, it's a fantastic over there. I've been using the Super Greens and I feel fantastic. I love it. I love the Super Greens.
Yes.
So if anything, try out the Super Greens. But yeah, make sure you go and check out fnxfit.com. Shoot us a message at TB Talk Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we'll get you a discount code so that you can save 15% off any of your purchases over at fnxfit.com.
Absolutely, Carl. And the biggest thing with this topic of how we've managed to keep this going for so long is we have the really rare kind of thing here that you and I have known each other for over 30 years now, and not only just being fans and then kind of podcasting together, that's one thing that really kind of sets us apart, not just from wrestling podcasts, but podcasts in general. To know somebody for that long of a period of time, it really, really helps in this process of doing a podcast on the weekly basis, and how we've been so consistent is that we have just so much to kind of to play off over the years, and just it makes doing this a lot easier when you know your host so well. And it's different when then you have to kind of try and do something with somebody else. It doesn't feel quite the same. And just that's been the biggest thing. And even in this episode, how you managed to turn this segment into combining our sponsors into it too. That's another thing. It's pretty rare, and I got to give props to you. You always do that well. I've still yet to see somebody kind of segue from a conversation into an ad read as smoothly as you do. So,
well,
so
thank you so, very much.
So congrats, man.
I appreciate that. You know what? I attribute that to my night shifts and listening to talk radio.
Yeah.
I got a couple of programs that I listen to at night. I'm not going to mention them here, but if you want to find out what they are, shoot me a message.
Yep.
And I'll let you know what those programs are that I listen to overnight. And yeah, it's just been fantastic that you know, we going into 13 episodes away from 200.
Yep.
And I mean, without these sponsors that we've got, whether it's been Collar and Elbow Brand, whether it's been Phoenix, whether it's even been Hype City Vapors that we had for a while as well. Yep. I mean, no matter what it's been, they've been fantastic. Every time that we tag them in a post on Facebook or Instagram, they've been fantastic with us. Yep. And then the partnerships that we've had with the HTM Podcast Network, IndiePW.com, TheChairShot.com, TheGorillaPosition.com, and now the newest partnership that we have with StreamYard,
mm-hmm.
bringing you these amazing vidcasts yep. every week. This has been, I would almost say, a godsend.
Yep.
Like, this is something that we had talked about and thought about for a while, and kind of decided that we didn't really need to do this in video format. And then thankfully, we decided, you know what? Yes, we're going to start to do video format. Yep. And now that we've been doing video format, it's been fantastic. Yep. The number of viewers, the interactions that have been happening and coming from it have been fantastic. And that's something that we want to continue as well. If you are watching us live, interact with us. We have the availability to put those comments up on the screen so that everyone can see. And yep. then your comments are then being shown to the entire broadcast network that's watching us.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just simply fantastic that StreamYard has been there and very, very minimal in cost as well for us to be able to do this. So, I mean, it's been fantastic. And the guys over there at StreamYard are continuously updating things as well and giving us more options, different things to do. And I'm loving it. Something that I'm not sure if you even know, Big Joe, but if you put your cursor over top of the window that you see there, the bottom right-hand corner kind of has a little pop-out that you can turn that screen, that smaller screen, full screen.
Yep.
Like that's something that wasn't there before, and that's there now. It's fantastic.
Very cool.
And then to even for ourselves branch out into our own merchandise, I mean, that's fantastic as well. Big Joe is wearing the classic logo tee. This episode, I've been drinking out of the classic logo mug as well. I mean, turnbuckle-talk.myshopify.com is where you need to go for that. Hopefully, we'll be able to continue with that. I will let everybody know that there has been a 90-day trial that we've been given for this. So if there is anything that you want on there, you better go and get it quickly. Because if the sales really don't continue...
Yeah.
I may have to look at a different avenue for merchandise for us, because that can start to get very expensive to have the Shopify account going and not having any type of revenue coming in from that to even just pay for the next month of having Shopify. So if you want some merchandise from Turnbuckle Talk, go and check out turnbuckle-talk.myshopify.com.
There we go. All right. Well, I guess that's a good way to kind of wrap things up. Next week, episode 188, we'll see what happens next week in the world of professional wrestling. There's always stuff that happens, and we'll always have stuff to talk about. So we will see you guys on the next one.
Have a nice day.
It's me! It's an Arvid B to B. As you can tell in the background, we are out celebrating. That is what we do here at HittingTheMarks.com. And I'd like everyone to continue to tune in to Turnbuckle Talk, but check out all of our other shows. You can find that all at HittingTheMarks.com.
Run.